Blog Talk Radio. Imagine being able to find peace, quiet, mindfulness, centeredness, and simplicity right in the midst of your chaotic and stressful daily living, not as something you go away and sit quietly to meditate about and then get back into the stress and be just as stressed. So it is possible. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, the romantic novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars and the very special 30 Love Lessons for Your Soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. And today, I will be speaking with very special Michelle Pascal, who has a perspective on meditation coming from years of training and knowledge that may be a little different from the way most of us in North America and Canada and the Western world actually think and feel. So Michelle Pascal is an inspiring meditation teacher whose programs are in Fortune 500 companies, in prisons, and in his recent multimedia meditation performance at Carnegie Hall. Now he is offering in his new book, Simple One-Minute Meditations That Can Literally Change Your Life. Michelle Pascal is a French author, meditation teacher, singer, filmmaker, and photographer, a truly creative, spiritual person. Michelle's unique brand of meditation is being practiced at Google, Harvard University, and many other major organizations. Before coming to the U.S., Pascal lived in the Kopan Monastery in the Himalayas. He has spent more than 15 years adapting traditional teachings and practices for students around the world. He now lives in Los Angeles. So I am delighted to welcome you, Michelle Pascal.
Thank you so much, Erica. I am very happy and concentrate to be with you in your show because I know what we will explain to all your followers is extremely important because everyone, we need to be more calm. Everyone. Huh? This is the priority of our world. If the mind is running all time, it's a disaster. Huh? We are stressed and we destroy our immune system. So we can be a manager at Google. We can be a celebrity. We can be a prisoner. Everyone. We need to be more calm immediately. So thank you so much to invite me in your show, Dr. Erica.
And as you're talking, it reminds me of something I read many years ago about a prisoner in Vietnam who was in a hole in the ground. And through his ability to meditate, he thought about his wife's wedding dress and every detail of the wedding dress, things like that. And he kept himself sane till he was able to be rescued. So
it's beautiful.
It's very beautiful. Powerful.
You know, in California, yes. I direct my way of meditation for prisoners. So In California, we have an amazing data that I want to share with you. In California, 80% of parolees, they return to jail 2-3 months after. But at Amity Foundation, where I teach since 3 years meditation for daily stress, we see that the same percentage, 80% of parolees, they never return to jail. They find a job. They rebuild a family. So, yes, we can. Yes, when we practice an authentic meditation, not a blablatation, not something for nothing, but when we train the mind deeply, we see we can reduce the violence in America. It works.
Yes, and one of the things that someone said, he might have been a priest or someone working with prisoners, really said something like 80% of them are not really mentally disturbed. They, you know, their brains function well. It's just their belief system or what's happened to them in their life, and they just probably believe that this is the only way. And by controlling their mind, they can really change something.
Of course, Erika, it's very true what you say. And we see at Amity Foundation, this situation, it's not a blabla. It's a data. It's a reality. 80% of parolees, they never return to jail when we practice this new way of meditation. I say new because in America, this meditation is very new. Because in America, we are educated with the cliché of the meditation. Hein? We know there is the picture of a beautiful girl sitting down in a lotus position, face to a lake. Hein? We know this cliché. This is, for me, it's a blabla. It's blablatation. It's not meditation, it's blablatation. What is a blabla? It's interesting. What is a blabla? A blabla, it's something not efficient. A blabla, it's something no concrete. When you practice a fake meditation like that, when you go back to your daily life, we know you are stressed again when you go back to the traffic, when you go back to your workplace. I work with neuroscience since many years. We have an amazing survey in neuroscience. If you practice any relaxation outside of the stress, in a yoga room, in a quiet place. It's beautiful, beautiful. But when you go back to your job, when you go back to your daily life, you lose 93% of the benefit of the calm. So it doesn't work. And it doesn't work because it's a wrong perception of meditation. Meditation in Tibetan language doesn't mean to be sitting down in a lotus position, not at all. Exactly, it means I train my mind in my daily life. You see the difference between a blablatation. Oh, I must be sitting down with a ball, boom, take a deep breath, and it's a joke. When you go back to your job, you are stressed again. An authentic meditation, as we live in a monastery, it's we train our mind in our daily life. This is a huge difference between an authentic meditation and a beautiful blablatation.
Well, I have two things to say. I have a friend, my husband had a friend who went to stay in a monastery. He had lots of trouble in relationships, got divorced once or twice, and really fighting difficulties. And then my husband said to me, well, now this friend of his is in great shape. And I said to him, put him into another relationship and then we'll see. So that's the same issue. He was fine meditating in a cave.
It's true. It's because we live with a wrong perception of peace. We think there is a time to meditate, there is a time to be quiet, and there is a time when we go back to our daily life to be stressed. So when we live like that, no, it's true. We are educated with up and down. And in the brain, for the neurochemical, it's very damaged. It's like if you take a drugs, you are in an artificial well-being, and suddenly, poof, you go back to the stress. So no, peace, it's like oxygen. It's anytime, anywhere. And this way of meditation for daily stress, it's a revolution in America because we don't practice outside of the stress. We practice inside the stress. How can I be more calm when my coworkers are so stressed? How can I recycle all the stressful energy that they give to me every day? How can I stop my brain from running all time in my daily life? How can I restore my energy in the traffic? We learn how can we feel better immediately.
Wow. So how did you learn all this in the monastery? What was it like living there?
It's a beautiful question, Erika. Because when we live in a monastery, we don't learn. We live. I mean, I was the disciple of Chepa Dorje Rinpoche. Chepa Dorje is one of the most exceptional Tibetan masters in the world. And he is the last descendant of Marpa, the translator of Siddhartha. Chepa Dorje Rinpoche was also the disciple of Shatral Rinpoche. Shatral Rinpoche was the teacher of Dalai Lama. So when I ask the question to my Rinpoche, Rinpoche in Buddhism, in Tibetan, means precious. So when I ask the question to him, Rinpoche, can you explain to me meditation? And I remember his answer was beautiful. He said, okay, Michel, I can give you my teaching. There is no meditation. Just sitting down like a mountain. And you will feel whole. So what we do in this way of meditation, we don't develop technique. Meditation, it's not a technique. It is the main difference when we live in a monastery and most of the meditation teachers in America, they teach a technique. It's the same thing if you want to learn piano. You can learn piano, but if there is not the feeling, if there is not, as we say in Buddhism, the powa. Powa in Tibetan means transfusion of consciousness. Meditation, it's more than a technique. It's a transmission of energy. We give an energy to the person. For example, when I teach for manager at Google, or when I teach for a prisoner in jail, how can we say to a manager at Google, oh my friend, you work 15 hours per day? Now you must meditate 30 minutes, take a deep breath, and boom, be concentrated with my ball. We see it's not serious. They are too much tired. How can we say to a prisoner we have PTSD, oh, my friend, can you sit down in a lotus position and take a deep breath and be focused? Be positive, my friend, be positive. No, it's not respectful. It's not serious to talk like that. It's a blabla, it's a projection, it's a cliché, and it's not what we live in a monastery. It's not what we live in a monastery. We never do that in a monastery. So what we do,
Wow. We
are in another state of consciousness. And just we say to the prisoners, we can be sitting down like a mountain. If you want, Erika, the best answer to your question, we can make 1 minute meditation together. If you want, we can do that. This is the best answer.
I would love to do that, but I still have a few more questions. One of the things I wanted to say is that you are verifying and validating something I've been experiencing. I'm very well trained in relationship, how to heal relationships. And it's through the consciousness, through each person having that state of consciousness that helps them to accept each other and to speak more honestly rather than a technique to do it. Because if someone has a temper and he gets really angry, you can't expect him to never get angry again. It's going to happen. So how are you going to be in a state of mind to deal with it? So it's the same state that someone has to be in, a calm, higher perspective.
We must be what we teach. It's a question of energy. We can't say to a manager in a big company or to a prisoner, we can't say, do this, do that, be positive, be... No. Time has really changed. Because every day, every minute, we receive tips, advices, be like this, do like that, do this technique. We are fed up. We are exhausted. Just, we need to feel peace. We need to feel a good energy. When we live in a monastery, we live that. We feel. When I was with my Rinpoche, just when I see him, I was in peace. It's a question of energy. It's not a question of technique. In Buddhism, my Rinpoche was one of the highest exceptional Tibetan teachers. He said all the time, Michel, meditation, 10% techniques, but 90% it's the energy that you share with someone. So it's a revolution, it's an authentic revolution with this way of meditation, because this way comes from the source of the spirituality as we live in the Himalayas, in a monastery.
Wow. You are just validating something. Like, they have done research on therapy, different therapy techniques. And what they found was that it had nothing to do with the technique. It was the quality of the interaction between the therapist and the client. In other words, the energetic exchange. And
it's
it is
extremely important
with the touch.
Erika, what you say.
With the touch therapy. Yeah.
Exactly. What you say, Dr. Erika, this is the most important in meditation. Today, you say the most important. Congratulations, Dr. Erika, for what you say. This is the most important. It's a question of energy. When I am faced to 100 prisoners sometimes, no, we can't say to those guys, take a deep breath, visualize this, do that. They don't care. They don't care. And it's not respectful. The same for managers, the same for employers, the same for a child. I teach for children who have ADHD. How can we say to a child, do this, do that, stop your brain? They are sick. Because when we are stressed, we have a mental disease. Huh? We are educated. In America, we think that if we are stressed, it's normal. No. When we are stressed, we destroy our immune system. When we are stressed, we destroy our neurons. We destroy our blood pressure. We have a lot of acidity in the stomach. We destroy our life. So we can't say, when I destroy my life, I am normal. No. When we are stressed, it's a sort of mental disease. I am sick. I have an addiction. Huh? Every emotion, it's an addiction. So if you are stressed today, you will be more stressed tomorrow, more stressed next week, more stressed next year. It's like that. It's a neurochemical addiction. So the question is, how can we change? To live is to choose. What can we do without effort to feel better immediately? How can I break this slavery? How can I feel better? This is the question of the book, Meditation for Daily Stress.
Wow. And I wanted to share one more thing. I'm so excited to speak with you. This is many, many years ago, in the 1970s. I went to the Shivananda Ashram, and I was Ravi Shankar was playing the sitar, and I was meditating, and I suddenly went into a cosmic consciousness state where I knew what it was like to be a road or to be a tree or to be a car. It was amazing to actually have that experience. So I can't wait to hear about your meditations and, you know, how to feel like that in a moment.
This is the best answer that I can give to your interview to make a practice together. Huh? Imagine for all the people,
yes,
all the people who listen to you, Dr. Erika. And really, from my heart, congratulations for what you say. You are an amazing doctor of the soul. So
thank you.
I am. No, it's true. It's true, Erika. What you say, it's exactly, if you come in Himalayas, in a monastery, all the abbots, they will say to you that I say to you today. What you say, this is the truth. The relation.
Thank you.
Between two people.
Thank you.
Not the technique, no. The transmission of energy. You can say the relation between a therapist and a person. In Buddhism, we say the power, the transfusion of energy. But this is the same thing. We say the same. We have the same language. Same language, Erika. So
I wanted to add another thing, just because it's such a thrill to talk with you, that I've been trained in body therapy and many different body therapy methods and body psychotherapy, and that is an exchange of energy. And when the therapist is tense, the client feels it. You have to be in that state, and the transmission of energy is powerful. But it doesn't have to happen with touch. It can happen just through your presence.
Exactly. Exactly. So, we can make a practice together. This is to live this meditation together. So imagine we are at the workplace, in our office.
Yes.
A lot of stress, a lot of tension. How can we feel better face to our computer? So I snap 3 times with my fingers and just we close our eyes. We are sitting down like a mountain. We do nothing. Just we are sitting down face to our computer, but like a mountain. If we have some thought in our mind, we do nothing. Thoughts are like clouds in the sky. They move. But when we are sitting down like a mountain, we can meditate like a mountain. We can breathe like a mountain. We visualize the mountain. We see the stability of the mountain. And we breathe in mentally the stability of the mountain. We breathe in. We keep the stability. We keep our breath. And we exhale all the stability of the mountain in our body. When we meditate like a mountain, we become a mountain. And we open our eyes and we see around us the colors seem more real. If we touch our fingers, immediately the sensation is more real. When we are more calm, we are more alive. perceptions are more developed, more we are calm, more we have energy, more we are active, productive, intuitive. How do you feel, Erica?
I just wanted to say, when I came out of it. Just today I happened to have a tremendous stress before speaking with you with affiliate links not working for a summit that I'm working on, and I have to tell people by tomorrow. And I just felt, and it will all work out.
It's beautiful, your answer, because when we say, we are in the abandon, we abandon the tensions. And more we are calm in the daily stress, easier we can find solutions for any problems that we have. So we see, more we are calm, more we have energy. In America, we need to be very active. We need to be productive. How can we be active? How can we feel better? How can we find a solution for a problem in our job, for a problem with our family, when the mind is more calm, the mind is more clear, like a pure lake? This is meditation for daily stress. At the workplace, we train our mind.
So how do prisoners react to this if you tell them to be like a mountain and they do they do the meditation? What happens?
Oh, Erica, you can't imagine how at 100% they are very, very calm immediately. It's amazing. And it's amazing because they are so surprised. Many of the prisoners, they say, but Michel, we thought that meditation means we must be sitting down in a lotus. And no, it's a cliché. No, it's a cliché in Hollywood. I live in Los Angeles. I know my cliché. But it's not that meditate. It's not that. So one of the prisoners yesterday, he says something beautiful. I asked to him, how do you feel? And at the end, I saw a guy with a lot of tattoos and difficulties. He cried, and he said, I feel free, Michel. I am free today. And he has electronic bracelet, and he must stay in jail for 30 years. So, yes, when we meditate, when we are calm, we touch our freedom. We touch our soul. It's the same thing. I remember one day I teach for one of the managers at Google in New York City. She was so stressed. She was close to have a burnout. And I said to her, come with me in Times Square to meditate. She said, Michel, you are crazy. I am so stressed. I refuse to go to Times Square. This is the worst place of the world. I say, yes, come with me to be like a mountain in Times Square. And in 1 minute, like we did you and me, Erica, today, she touched her soul. She was more calm. And she said, like you, she said, I can't imagine it was so simple to be more calm. And now she practices every day at Google, and she wants to train other people to practice this way of meditation. So everyone, we need to train our mind in our daily life. Because when you practice like that, for example, your office, your workplace becomes in your mind the place I know I can be quiet. My car in the traffic becomes my yoga room, the place I can feel more calm. My office, I rediscover my office. I love my office because this is a place I am more calm in my daily life. So meditation, it's a new perception of our life. We change. Oh. We we rediscover my workplace. It's not, oh, I must go to work, it's Monday morning, for example. You know, because in a fake meditation, it's like the weekend. When you go back to your job, it's like when you go back Monday morning after the weekend. You are stressed. No.
Right.
When we train our mind at the workplace, we rediscover. It's a question of mental habit. It's a cognitive reeducation. If you practice the mountain 1 minute per day, like we did today, Erika, your office change in your mind. It's not, oh, I must go to work. It's, oh, I know. I have a beautiful addiction, a beautiful conditionment. My office, this is my refuge. This is my space.
Wow.
This is my place. I restore my energy. So this is exactly a monastic life. A monastic life, it's very active. People, most of time, they are educated with the cliché of the documentaries that you see about monastery. In my monastery in Copan, it's the biggest monastery in Himalayas. Many times, I saw journalists or cinematographers, they come to make a documentary. What they do? They stay 1 week, 2-3 weeks, sometimes 1 month, so they don't live in a monastery. Just they make video, but they don't live inside. They don't know what it is. And after, they diffuse the video to the world. So people in the world, they don't see the truth. But a life in a monastery, it's very, very active. It's not only contemplation, it's not only prayer. It's a life very active. So we must train our mind all time. So we are educated with a cliché of the monastic life. A monastic life, it's very active. So we need to be calm.
And I want to ask another question. Have you worked with people dealing with substance abuse?
Or
so addicted to a drug or alcohol?
Every day I do that. And my teacher certifies I do that every day. At Amity Foundation, where I teach in California, this is the biggest foundation for alcohol abuser, drug abuser, PTSD. So we have that every day in California, Arizona, and New Mexico. So the survey, it's 80% positive result. It's amazing. And I developed this program for women abused also in Los Angeles. There is a big, big shelter in LA, the Good Shepherd. It's a Christian center. And in this center come all the women abused sexually and with domestic violence. And one of my teachers, she teach my way of meditation for those women. You can't imagine, Erika, how those women, they feel better just after 1 or 2 sessions. So, yes, it's a question of cognitive meditation. Yes. Yes, me, I don't like the word meditation. I mean, the cliché that we see in America. And I am so strict with this cliché. Blablatation, it's not possible. But meditation means exactly cognitive reeducation. It's a real cognitive reeducation in the brain.
So it's really affecting the brain. It's not just sitting quietly.
No, of course. When we practice like that, we create new cognitive process in the brain. When we practice like that, we change the serotonin, the dopamine in the brain. Immediately, it's like that. Immediately. And we live a new time. Sorry, Erika. What you say? Sorry.
That's okay. Oh, I wanted to get some information on how people can contact you, but you were about to say something else, so share that.
Oh, no, I wanted to talk about that, because with this way of meditation, we have too much demands every day. So I'm training 15 teachers in America, also in Europe, also in China next year, and also in South of Africa, in many countries in the world. We develop this new approach. And people can contact me on my website, michelpascal.tv. So simple, michelpascal.tv. They can follow a lot of video and guidance. All is free. And if people want to become meditation teacher on this way of meditation, we have training also how to become a teacher for prisoners, for fashion industry, for homeless, for celebrities, for different sorts of categories. And in October, when I will be at Carnegie Hall, when I come again at Carnegie Hall in October, I will present my app. We create my application, Meditation for Daily Stress. So we want to diffuse this new way of meditation when we see the result, very, very positive.
Wow. And you said something before, I would like you to add that. Why
yes.
do you think we're in a new spiritual realm? You said something about that the times are good.
Yes, Erika. Yes, we live a new time because people are not stupid, not at all. I mean, people, they really understand that the time of the blablatation, if we give this funny name, the time of blablatation, it's over. I mean, people, they want something more deep, more authentic. We can't say to be president of companies in America or for engineer or for people who take drugs or alcohol or prisoners or children or students in university. No, we can't say, oh, my friend, come with me in a quiet room, take a deep breath, be focused. No. We see people are very intuitive. And they feel it's a blabla because when they go back to the job, they are stressed again. So really, I am very optimistic. I see the success of this way of meditation. It's huge. It's not my success. Me, I don't care for me. But this is the success of the intelligence of the people, the success of the prisoners, the success of managers at Google or big company like Nestle, where I teach, the success of some students in Harvard University, the success of people in fashion industry, homeless, where I teach in Los Angeles. It's an amazing success, this way of meditation. So it's a new time. The time of blablatation, it's over, I am sure. We need more deep, more authentic. It's not possible to say to people, oh, take a deep breath, meditate like this, be positive, meditate like that. No, it's not serious to talk like that now. It's not adapted.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this. Do you have any suggestions for people before you leave, what they can do?
Maybe. I can share with you one of my favorite practice. My practice to me, it's when I say, how are you? How are you, Erika? At the beginning of the interview, when I call you, and I say, how are you? And when I say every day, when I go to a Starbucks, when I go to the bank, when I go in the street, when I see my friends, my family, my coworkers, how are you? My how are you is my mantra. My how are you is my practice to train my mind in my daily life, to be very present to every person. Hello, how are you? Really from my heart. And more I say how are you, more I train my brain. And how are you becomes my prayer, my mantra, my meditation practice. Hello, how are you? So this is a practice that I practice every day.
That is beautiful. Thank you. You've given a new meaning to saying hello, how are you?
Oh, Erika, and the same when I say thank you so much for your show. It's also my prayer for you to say how your energy, your intelligence, the true questions that you ask and what you have explained with the transmission of energy at the beginning of the interview. Erika, congratulations, really, from my heart, for what you do. It's very important.
Thanks.
For all the people who follow you. You give hope, a concrete hope, not a blablatation, but a real good spiritual energy to the people who listen to you.
Thank you so much for just sharing your wisdom and also for validating what I've known internally. But when you look outside at the world, they're not understanding that yet.
Yes, but Erika, if you come in a neuroscience laboratory, if you come in the Himalayas in my monastery, they will say that I say to you, it's exactly the truth, what you say in your show.
Thank you. This is wonderful. And people, your trainings are so powerful. And I know that the consciousness is shifting.
Of course, it's an addiction. So, for example, when today I ask at the end of 1 minute meditation, Erika, how you feel? And you say, ha. Ah. When you say, ha, ah, you can't imagine in your brain, so in every cells of the body, the benefit of the neurochemical with the hormone that you have given to your body. Ah. So day after day,
yes,
when you practice like that, your day become a ha. Ah. Oh, what a ha! My life is a ha!
Thank you so much for coming on this show today. It's just wonderful.
Thank you, Erika, from all my heart. See you another day. I will be happy to make another show with you. Thank you so much, Erika.
Thank you so much. And I may be sharing this on my summit, the Healing Recovery Retreat, because people need to hear your message.
Oh, it's not my message. This is the message that we live when we live in a monastery. It's not blablatation. It's an authentic revolution, because it's an authentic meditation. It is that we live since centuries and centuries in monasteries. So just me, I have tried to adapt, to be very concrete how we can adapt in our daily stress. That's it.
Thank you. And to
thank
those
you,
of
Erika.
You listening, I'm so glad that you came today.
Me too.
And
thank you, Erika.
I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Please, please. I will be so, so happy to do that.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Erika. God bless you. Bye-bye.
And same to you.